Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Music in the South Bay, on May 17th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. It's also a great place to listen to live music. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by Prove It. Get into ketosis in under an hour for only $14.95. You can find out more at their website at www.ketonow.org. Their flagship product, Keto OS, the Ketone Operating System, is for any individual that is looking to improve his or her life, body composition, and performance capacity. Studies suggest there are a wide range of benefits that come from using ketones as fuel. And if you don't know what ketones are, you can find out more at their website. These include body recomposition, blood sugar balance, and enhanced insulin sensitivity, increased satiety and decreased food cravings, increased or improved energy levels, oxygen capacity, motor performance, and athletic performance. Migraine treatment, mood stabilization, improved cholesterol levels, inflammation management reduction, and endurance enhancement. Remember, Prove It and their flagship product, Keto OS, the Ketone Operating System. Get into ketosis in under an hour for only $14.95. Please find out more at www.ketonow.org. Try it today. Today, of course, we're going to be celebrating the Beach City Symphony Orchestra with Maestro Barry Brisk at the helm as conductor. And, of course, Barry Brisk first conducted in the public at the age of 14 when he performed selections from South Pacific at his graduation from Webster Junior High School in West Los Angeles. As a student, he also conducted the orchestras at University High School, Mount St. Mary's College, and the University of Music, formerly Academy of Music, in Vienna, Austria, where he studied with the prominent conductor-teacher Hans Swarovski. Professionally, Brisk has conducted many orchestras in Southern California, as well as in Mexico and Austria. Maestro Brisk has been music director of the Beach City Symphony since 1994 and is particularly proud of having expanded the orchestra's repertoire. He has conducted works by more than 80 composers, more than a dozen of whom are living. Today, we are talking about the Music Teachers Association of California, Artists of the Future. Welcome to the program, Barry. I'm so glad to have you today.
It's always a pleasure to join you, Joe.
Thank you very much. And this is one of my favorite of the year's performances, the Artists of the Future. You have this this segment or theme every year. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Who are we going to hear today or this Friday?
Well, let me get around to the background first, and then I'll get into the names of the young soloists.
Yeah.
This has been going on with our orchestra for over 25 years. So there is the Music Teachers Association of California, which is statewide, but each region has its own branch. So we're dealing here with the South Bay branch. Mm-hmm. They put on a contest in January, students audition for it, and three or four are selected as winners, and we have an arrangement with the Music Teachers Association that we will present them on a concert in May. So sometime around February 1st, I get an email telling me who the contestants are and what their repertoire will be. And we have, you know, certain, I don't want to use the word restrictions, but certain criteria that applies here. For instance, if one of their students played a certain Mozart piano concerto last year, they cannot repeat it again this year. There's got to be at least 2 years between, so we don't do the same pieces all the time. Mm-hmm. Although over the years, a number of pieces do tend to reappear. That's fine because it's all great music. Mm-hmm. So I was informed about these four people last February, mm-hmm. and so we have two violinists and two pianists.
Mm.
One of the violinists, Sarah Jade Anderson, is going to play the first movement of the Chopin Concerto No. 1. The other pianist is April Lee. She will play the first movement of the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then the two violinists, Kevin Chen, will play Zigeunerweisen, or Gypsy Airs, by Sarasate.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Hu will play the first movement of the Paganini Concerto in D major.
Mm-hmm.
Concerto No. 1. So those are our soloists, and that's the repertoire they're going to be performing. So we will start the concert with an overture, and we will end the concert, well, we want to end the concert with a short piece. There's no time to do a big symphony. So we usually end the concert with another overture, and of course an overture is an opening piece, but, oh well, we'll end the concert with another overture. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, I'm a little confused because I'm looking at the website and it shows you said April Lee will be performing the Chopin or
no, you've got no the other way. April Lee is performing the Beethoven.
Okay. Yes, I know it is another way, and so the website is I can't oh it's. Piece first and then soloist. Piece, soloist, piece, soloist,
oh, that could
piece,
be.
Soloist.
That could
I see,
be.
Yeah. I see, yes.
Right.
Okay, good. Well, I am thrilled. All of these pieces are amazing pieces of music. And,
oh, yes, they belong to the standard repertoire of orchestral music, of course.
Right. And we were talking a little bit before we went on the air about these pieces. Some of them, we have two women, young women, and two young men, two piano soloists, piano concertos, and two violin, well, they're not, one is a violin concerto, and the other one, would you call that a concerto?
No, it's a free, just a freestanding piece.
A freestanding piece.
Right.
Very interesting, but a couple of these pieces, the intros are quite long. And you're not going to be playing the full intro live, is that correct?
Only in one case.
Oh.
In the Paganini Concerto for violin,
yeah.
We have made there's a traditional cut there because it's a rather long introduction.
Yes.
And we will be doing that cut. In the other two concertos, we will not be doing them.
Okay.
In first movements of concertos, you have a long exposition at the beginning with the orchestra,
mm-hmm.
and then the piano comes along and does another exposition.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes for a rather long piece.
Mm-hmm.
But on a normal symphony concert, you're not doing three concertos, you're just doing one.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if that piece is a little bit long. But here with three concerto movements, first movements, it makes the concert on the lengthy side.
Right.
So we have to be judicious. So, but the Paganini Concerto has a very convenient place where you can make a cut, and it doesn't disturb anything musically.
I see.
Chopin and the Beethoven have issues where you would be like, cutting off the left sleeve of somebody's shirt and saying, well, we didn't have quite enough material, so
yeah.
We'll just eliminate one of the sleeves. It was something would be a little odd there.
I see, yes. Well, then I think let's start with the Paganini piece because we're going to be helping people image the beginning of the concerto. They're not going to hear that on Friday.
Well, they'll hear some of it, not all of it.
Not all of it. Okay, well, then we have an exclusive.
Okay, very good.
We have an exclusive here. We're talking about a beautiful piece. This is going to be leading up to, we're going to play it up to where the violin soloist comes in, and then we'll leave the rest for Friday. But this is, how do you pronounce his first name?
Niccolo
Paganini, Violin Concerto Number 1, Opus 6, Allegro Maestoso?
Maestoso, right. A majestic allegro, yes.
A majestic allegro, okay.
Yeah, maestoso. Well, allegro means quick.
Right.
But this is sort of not quite so fast. Allegro is not just quick, it also has a certain lively connotation. So this is perhaps a pinch slower than that. It has to be a little more majestic.
I see. Well, we're looking forward to this. This is Paganini.
What?
And it's about 4 minutes to the soloist, isn't that right?
Approximately, yes.
Okay, here we go. Paganini, Violin Concerto Number 1. There we go. There's our soloist. a very upbeat piece, very happy.
That is true. The whole first movement is that way.
Hmm.
Yes. The thing that is sort of spectacular about that piece is that there, being a concerto, it's designed to show off the soloist, and Paganini wrote it for himself, and he was probably the most brilliant violinist to have lived at the time he did, at the early 19th century.
Hmm.
So he wrote lots of passages which are, shall we say, for double stops.
Mm.
A double stop means playing two notes at once on adjoining strings, and that is very difficult to do.
Mm.
Playing just one of them going bump, that's not a big deal. But playing, you know, slews of them one after the other, where you have to have two fingers going at once but on different strings, that's challenging.
Yeah.
And there are lots of passages that have that sort of thing in there, which always, you know, it's so spectacular. It makes the audience practically jump up, you know, and applaud when it's all over.
Hmm.
It's a very difficult thing to do. But that's part of virtuosity.
Yes.
You know, the definition of virtuosity is basically making difficult things seem easy.
Yes.
You don't see the effort. Then it's virtuoso.
Yes. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to that very much. And I love Paganini in general, and I think my favorite violinist, the violinist that I've heard, is coming up, and that's I said that it's what's his name, Yasha, or it's Jascha Heifetz.
No, Yasha.
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 Yes.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Yasha.
Well, yeah, he was, you know, for the first half of the 20th century, I think he died in the late 70s, he was the supreme violinist around the world.
Mm.
He's the one everybody is, compares to, although young people now don't really know who he is.
Right.
His CDs are still out there.
Right.
But when he was alive, he was the giant of the violin.
Right.
You know, and he lived in Beverly Hills.
Mm.
Mm. Well, you know, he was born in, I think it was Lithuania, and studied in Moscow, but that's all before the First World War, you know. And then he came to the United States.
Mm. Well, he's. We're going to hear a little bit of him playing. Is it Pablo de Sarasate?
Right, that's the Zigeunerweisen,
yes.
Gypsy Airs.
Yes,
right.
yes, that piece. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's. Like you said, it's virtuosity. So you forget how difficult it is, and you just are swept away with the emotion of the piece.
Exactly.
And it's just a spectacular piece of what did they say? Fiddle playing.
Well, that's for sure. Yes.
I was watching a video of what we just heard, the Paganini piece, was actually played by, who's the gentleman who had polio from Israel?
Oh, Itzhak Perlman.
Yes, Itzhak Perlman. He was the violinist there.
Uh-huh.
And there was a very theatrical piece. He comes up out of the stage with his crutches, and he's with James Levine, and he has the baton, and he says, I'm not sure what I should do with this. I think that gentleman over there, James Levine, has my violin. I think we're going to trade.
Right.
It's a very nice piece on YouTube, kids, if
right.
you want
well,
to find
that. He's always done that his whole life because of the polio. So he's always walked out on crutches and then, you know, sits down, and the conductor is in back of him and brings out the violin for him.
Mm.
So that's a standard procedure.
Mm.
And he's known for his sense of humor, by the way.
Yes.
He's always making jokes and doing, you know, and laughing and whatnot. Yes.
Yes. What a brilliant violinist he is as well.
Oh, yes.
And so now of these pieces, and let's talk a little bit more about what this means. The Music Teacher Association of California South Bay Branch, tell us a little bit about that organization, if you would.
Well, I mean, I can't tell you exactly how many years they've been in existence, but it's
right.
over 25 or so.
Right.
And so, you know, teachers come together
right.
So they can share information, you know, support. support each other and create opportunities for their students. So that's what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't the only activity that they do. They also put on various recitals, you know, with piano accompanists for violins or flute players and things like that. So they have a range of activities to enhance their students' learning procedures.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so that's why they exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we just happen to be, shall we say, the most flamboyant of the things they put on.
It's brilliant. It's now all of these students. There was a competition. They are the
yes.
winners of the competition.
That's correct.
How many mm-hmm. students entered the competition?
I never find out the details.
I see.
It's just naive. I don't bother to ask because I only have to deal with the winners. You see?
right. But
and I am personally never one of the judges.
I see.
Because I know so many of the teachers, and sometimes these students come back, 2 years later, they've won it a second time. So sometimes I may know one of the students who's auditioning for this competition.
Right.
So I'm nowhere in the neighborhood when that happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Conflicts of interest.
Precisely, yes.
Well, it's just these children, I have to say, they are probably generally in the range of teenagers?
They're in the tight range of 14 to 16.
I see. 14.
Sometimes we've had somebody as young as, like 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I think their competition, it stops at 18.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or 18, or you have to still be in high school, you know, something like that. If you're out of high school, you cannot be in the competition.
I see. Well, it's just fascinating. And I had a question for you, just a general interest piece about Barry Brisk. I mean, how many times have you conducted the Paganini Violin Concerto Number 1?
Oh, that not that many times, only two or three.
Okay.
But the Zigeuner Weisen, I can't even remember how many times I've done that.
Okay, so let's talk about Zigeuner Weisen. You conducted for the umpteenth time. Does it ever get old? No?
No, because it's a fascinating piece. And it's always a matter of, what's this soloist going to do in these various passages? And so you have to, you know, be on your toes to anticipate something different.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it's an exciting piece, so you just don't get tired of it. Also, it's rather short. The whole thing is maybe 10 minutes long.
Right.
So because there's no lengthy introduction.
Right.
The violinist starts only 10 seconds into the piece.
Right.
So it's always an exciting thing.
Right.
You'll get that. When you play it this morning on the radio, you probably won't get into the fast passages yet, because
right.
that's about halfway through.
Yeah.
But it's really a very stunning piece.
Stunning. Now,
yes.
let's start with one of the other piano pieces. Which would you suggest that we start with?
How about the Beethoven?
How about the Beethoven? All right. So tell us a little bit about this piece, the history of it's Piano Concerto Number 3. Is there any particular story behind it?
Well, when Beethoven's piano concertos were first performed, he was the soloist.
Mm.
And it's sort of hard to imagine what things were like in, you know, 1804 and whatnot. But you did not have standing symphony orchestras like we have today, either at the community level like the Beat City Symphony or the professional level like the LA Philharmonic.
Mm-hmm.
So Beethoven would write music, orchestra music, concertos, things like that, and he would have to put on his own concerts. So he had wealthy supporters,
mm-hmm.
and they would loan him the money, whether it was loaning or giving, I'm not positive,
mm-hmm.
To put on a concert, so that he would have to hire the musicians
mm-hmm.
and hire people to copy the music, because it was all written out
mm-hmm.
in ink, by hand.
Right.
And then there would be two or three rehearsals. And so one of his concerts was only his own music. He wasn't going to use his resources to play other people's music. That was their job.
Right.
The other thing that was still different at his point is we didn't bring along the baggage of the past. Hmm. See, now, if you go to a symphony concert or a piano recital, it's almost all old music.
Hmm.
I mean, let's face it, Beethoven died almost 200 years ago. Hmm. Mozart died more than that. Haydn died more than that. Brahms died 120 years ago.
Hmm.
So we hang on to the past.
Hmm.
In Beethoven's time, that was just beginning to happen. So people went expecting to hear new music all the time. So it was totally different from today, where now we go back to, we go to concerts frequently to hear old chestnuts,
right?
Things we have known since our youth,
right?
Through recordings and whatnot,
right?
But back then it was always new, almost always new stuff.
Well,
but we're getting now, after a period of doing that, we're getting now to the point where more new music is getting played by current young composers. The L.A. Chamber Orchestra just did a piece by a young composer-conductor who's writing an opera for L.A. Opera, and there's all kinds of things that Dudamel is doing with the L.A. Philharmonic that's new music, and the last concert of his season always features a new piece, which they've just done. So we're getting back into that thing where we're not just listening to those pieces that warm our hearts because we've known them forever. We're also getting newer experiences.
And that's very important, isn't it, for the growth of the industry and the growth of the listener's palate.
Yeah, right. Well, you have to have new things. If you just listen to the old stuff, it's like eating See's candies.
Mm.
I mean, wonderful as they are, you know what you're getting every time. There's no little surprise there. But
right.
Here, you know, music has moved on since Beethoven's time. Different emotions are being expressed, different sounds are being created, and people don't write like Beethoven anymore because it's a 200-year-old style. So we need to keep abreast of this. If you go to see plays, you're not just going to see Shakespeare, you know, and Racine and all these older playwrights. You're going to see things that are written, well, even Neil Simon is not new anymore. Some of his stuff is 40 years old.
Right.
But people go to new plays and they don't think about it.
Right.
But in music, that's sort of become a little bit ossified. So we have to help push it forward. You don't just go to see old movies. I mean, you know, it's nice to see a Hitchcock movie occasionally, but now you want to see something by Tarantino or whoever else is out, Woody Allen, or whoever else is out there doing new movies.
Right.
We do that all the time. But music, even in the other arts, in the painting and sculpture, there every city has a Museum of Modern Arts. I mean, in San Francisco, the SF Museum of Modern Arts has just reopened. They were closed for renovation, and they all have new things in it. Or downtown, we have the new Broad Museum, which has his own collection of new works. So in all the other arts, we're getting new things all the time.
Right.
Music, that is what we think of as classical music, tends to be a little ossified. Pop music, that doesn't happen. I mean, you don't hear too many people singing Elvis Presley or Frank Sinatra songs.
Mm-hmm.
You go to hear Beyonce, and they're her new songs.
Right.
But it's the classical music period that hangs on to the great masterpieces, which are worth hanging on to, but there's also more stuff that needs to be produced.
Well, we are excited about new music, but here we're going to listen to a little chestnut, Piano Concerto Number 3.
Sounds good.
and with this one, the soloist comes in early or not too long into the piece.
Oh no, it's only like 10-12 seconds in.
All right.
Yes.
Here we go. Beethoven's Piano Concerto.
I'm sorry. I thought we were doing Zugoynoweisen.
Oh,
no, you're right. The Beethoven Concerto has a very long introduction.
Oh, it does.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. A long introduction, but familiar. Beethoven Piano Concerto Number 3. And we're only going to play it up to the point where the soloist comes in. Here we go. Piano Concerto No. 3, Ludwig van Beethoven. Yes, Beethoven gives himself quite an intro there.
Right.
Very much so.
I'd like to come back to something I was discussing a minute ago about organizations playing new music.
Mm.
That's one of the reasons why the Beach City Symphony and I do a new piece, something by a living composer, every season.
Mm-hmm.
This year we did a piece by Jim Stanley. Next year we're doing a piece by Charles Fernandez. And we've done a number of things. But every year now for 21 years, we've done a new piece, you know, by a living composer. Usually they're local from Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just to help, as well as doing the great masterpieces of the past, but we always like to bring in something of, you know, our time, whether it was the 20th or the 21st centuries.
Right, right.
Okay, now we can move on to another subject after my diatribe.
No, well, it's very important. I mean, the life of, as you are, the life of someone living and working in the world of classical music is dynamic. I mean, you don't have these new, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. Although they've been steeped in the works of the masters, they may have aspirations to create their own music.
Always a possibility.
Always a possibility. They're not potentially not just players, but they may have aspirations to be composers, or they may align themselves with composers who see their virtuosity and say, you know, I'd love to write a piece for you. You play the violin or the piano so wonderfully. Would you mind playing a piece that I've written? And I'm sure that they're going to meet that throughout their career.
Oh, yes. Actually, we have another. The orchestra puts on a little concert, a little contest in early September for middle school students.
Mm.
And it's a $500 award, and there's no performance involved. But one time, a couple of years ago, a student did perform a piece by a local composer, Matthew Hebbs, a friend of mine. So that was kind of interesting, sort of like, oh my, that person is auditioning with a totally unknown piece.
Yeah.
Yes, that was nice. Yeah,
yeah, that is nice and yes. Refreshing, yes.
Right.
Wonderful. Now, the orchestra is also going to be playing two pieces. I'm not going to play those. Wait a minute now. The orchestra is going to be playing a Johannes Brahms Tragic Overture Opus 81. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, that's. We will use that to open the program.
You'll use that to open
right.
the program. And then will there be – and then that's it for the – or no, the and the orchestra is also going to be playing a Alexander Borodin piece?
Right, the Prince Igor Overture.
Right.
That will close the concert.
Right, I see.
Yeah, see, one of the – programming is one of the big tricks of being a music director, you know, putting concerts together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this concert is a little bit unusual because we – always have three or four soloists, and that takes up the bulk of the program.
Right.
So we can't play an entire symphony. That would, you know, we'd be there till 11 o'clock, which is a bit much.
Right.
So I need to have a short piece at the beginning and a short piece at the end. So most of the short pieces you find for orchestra are overtures, which are beginning pieces. They're pieces that, you know, that come before an opera or something of that nature. So that's why we're ending with an overture to an opera.
Right.
Of course, it's a good standalone piece.
Right.
So that's not a, musically, that's not a problem, except it's just the title is Overture, which means before,
mm-hmm.
so we're doing it at the end. You know, that's just a little quirk.
All right, a little backwards going on here, but that's good. We mix
right.
it up a little. So we had... you know, first the Paganini piece, violin concerto, and then Beethoven. Now, how about a little Chopin?
Wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about this piece.
Well, Chopin was a brilliant pianist. He was physically not the strongest person. He died very young, I think. I think it was tuberculosis.
Mm.
He was like only 40 years old or so.
Mm-hmm.
In his whole career, he only gave something like 20 public performances,
mm.
which is kind of amazing when you consider that the whole world plays his music all the time these days.
Mm.
He wrote virtually nothing for orchestra.
Mm.
He has two piano concertos and one other piece, Allegro Spinato, something like that, which have piano orchestra accompaniments.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't write any overtures, no symphonies, no serenades. Mm-hmm. So his the orchestra accompaniments to his music are a little bit sort of, shall we say, square.
Mm-hmm.
They just boom, chick, 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 boom, chick, chick, chick. And excuse my not exactly beautiful sounding voice there. But his piano music is so, it's not just beautiful, but it has sort of a loose quality and a freedom that his orchestra accompaniments don't have. Some people say that it's because he just didn't have experience in writing orchestra music. Other people say that he did it deliberately as a contrast to the florid piano style. I won't say what I think about all that, but it is a difference you get. So his concertos are a little bit different. The fact that the orchestra part as such seems a little bit less interesting than when the piano soloist comes in, and then you get your famous Chopin style of not just virtuosity, but a freedom of approach, which hadn't really existed in music before that.
There is, I was just listening to some of the serenades, and my God, you know, when you were talking about a chestnut, you you go back to a Chopin serenade, and you not only do you feel comfortable, you feel captured, as in you think, how long has it been since I've last heard this piece?
Right, yes.
It's
right. Well, that's the thing about things from the past. You feel very comfortable in their style. You know, so listening to them, you know, it's like, as I said before, it's like eating a nice See's candy. You know, it's just, oh, isn't this wonderful? You know.
Yeah. Well, here we go. The beautiful, is it Frederick or Frederic?
Frederic.
Frederic.
You know, but yes, if you want to be pompous about it, but
yeah,
we don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Here's,
you see, that's the French title for the name.
Right.
Because he lived most of his life in France, but he was born in Poland, and so it's pronounced something different in Polish, which I can't pull up right now.
Right. Well, here's Fred Chopin.
There you go.
The music sounds the same no matter how you pronounce his name.
Right.
It's amazing. Here's Piano Concerto number 1.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear how the young soloist opens, does that
right.
opening. It's very dramatic. You've heard it. And
I've heard it many times, and I've conducted it a few times as well, yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. So this is a piece that you have conducted a few times,
yes.
And it's always new, is it? Always new.
Oh, yes. When you're doing concertos, you never know exactly what the soloist is going to do until you get to the rehearsal. So there's always that little challenge of, oh, I did it this way a couple of years ago, but now, oh, this soloist does it a little differently.
Mm.
So you have to be on your toes waiting for that.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to leave out the two pieces that the orchestra is going to do, the two overtures, because we have one more piece left that will feature
right.
a soloist, and I want to make sure we get that in. But, you know, we haven't talked about the orchestra itself. Barry, let's just give a synopsis. What is the Beach Cities Symphony Orchestra?
Oh, it's that's very simple. It's a community orchestra, which means that the majority of the players are volunteers. They're community people. They're volunteers.
Hmm.
They like playing their instruments. They like playing the music we do. They like the social aspect of, you know, you come to the rehearsals every week and you get to know all these people. And some people have been in the orchestra for 40 years
hmm.
or something like that, or only 2 years, but you make friends there.
Hmm.
So it's a typical community orchestra. We have a few professionals who, you know, the concertmaster, the principal cellist, maybe one of the woodwind players or something,
hmm.
Who help things along.
Hmm.
But basically that's what a community orchestra is.
Hmm.
And our orchestra, since we're in the South Bay, many of them are involved in aerospace.
Hmm.
So we have some very brilliant people. I mean, a number of people who have PhDs in math and science,
hmm.
and are working on all kinds of interstellar things. I mean, one of our players is helping design the new telescope that is going to replace the Hubble telescope,
hmm.
And things of that nature. So it's a wonderful group of people, and we meet together on Wednesday evenings
mm-hmm.
And prepare our concerts. Well, this week, since there's a concert on Friday, we rehearse Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, and then have the concert on Friday.
Right.
So to make up for that heavy schedule, next week we don't have any rehearsals.
Right.
Well, actually, next week we stop for the summer because our season is over, and we
right.
won't reconvene till September.
Right. It's a glorious thing. Ever since my wife and I discovered the Beach City Symphony Orchestra, it's been a few years, hasn't it, that we've been doing this program.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing. I often say it's one of the greatest, little known secrets of the South Bay. Right here at the Marseille Auditorium at El Camino College. This coming Friday, Barry will normally give a little presentation at 7:30.
Correct.
And then the concert begins at 8:15, so you can either arrive for the presentation or the concert. And of course, there will be a raffle, and there will be other planned elements by the Beach City Symphony Orchestra organization that you can participate in. You can certainly just donate money, and but you can also just enjoy the concert for free. The concerts are free. Parking is $3 at the El Camino College parking lot, so you will want to bring conveniently three $1 bills.
That's correct. The machines do not accept credit cards, and they do not make change.
Yeah.
You're a little bit old-fashioned about that.
Yeah, so unless you want to overpay, I guess a five will work, but unless you don't...
I don't know. It may want three bills to
okay.
go in there.
Okay.
And I've never experimented. I never wanted to lose $15, so I didn't do that.
So if you will, please bring three $1 bills, and parking is gloriously easy and plentiful, and you will walk a very short stretch to your seat and in the Marcy Auditorium, and you can enjoy coffee and other beverages and a snack in the lobby. It's all very comfortable and very wonderful. We love coming to the Beach City Symphony Orchestra. It's our orchestra right here in the South Bay. It belongs to us in the Beach Cities. So the auditorium should be overflowing every performance because it's such a unique event and a unique organization. Well, I'm thrilled. I love these times that we have together, Barry. I had a little conflict yesterday, so we couldn't do it on our traditional Monday, but we're doing it today, Tuesday, and I'm thrilled to have done this, and I hope to get more people to come out. Of course, if they want to know more, they can find out more at the website at Beach Cities Symphony. Yes, there are two S's in the middle. BeachCitiesSymphony.org with two S's in the middle at the end of cities and the beginning of symphony.
Right. We also have a Facebook page.
Facebook.
So if people are into that, they can go see our activities in a slightly different format on the Facebook page.
Right. Beach City Symphony. You just type it in, and there you go. You'll see the beautiful singing mermaid. Actually, she's playing a lyre. Is that right?
Yes. Something of that nature, right? Yes.
Well,
right.
Is it a lyre or it's not a harp? It's too small.
Well, no, technically a harp would be bigger than that. But in the ancient world, like ancient Greece, they might have referred to that as a harp.
Okay.
So we won't worry about the nomenclature.
Well, this is the original. It's been cleaned up. It's beautiful. This is the original logo. Lyre playing mermaid for the Beach
right.
City Symphony Association. Is this the original logo from 40 years ago?
Since I wasn't involved
yeah.
40 or 50 years ago, I can't answer the question, but it's basically been like that with some tiny modifications.
I see. Well, it's gorgeous. It's a cleaned up new version on the Facebook page, so it's really pretty. And you can find out everything you want to find out right there, including the Beach City Symphony fundraiser, April 28th. Oh, that's passed. Oh, well, it was April 28th at BJ's. So I'm sure there'll be another opportunity to raise money for the symphony.
Right. Oh, coming up in the next season, of course.
Of course. Now we have one more piece that blows me away. Who's going to be the violin soloist on this Pablo Sarasate piece?
So going to violin, Kevin Chen.
Kevin Chen is going
to be 14 years old.
14 years old. You're going to hear a 14-year-old play the violin on this piece this coming Friday if you should come out to the Beach City Symphony. Here you go. Imagine a 14-year-old playing this. Of course, this is Yasha Heifetz, maybe the greatest violinist, one of the greatest violinists of the 20th century. Of course, I want to give props to beautiful Pablo de Sarasate Zagoneweisen.
Thank you.
I Wish I Had More Time. That's a beautiful piece. And we're looking forward to hearing it, Barry.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you there in the audience for the concert.
Yes, yes. We are going to be there. Hopefully it'll be full and there'll be lots and lots of raffle tickets sold. And that's what community orchestras do, ladies and gentlemen. They raise money and for a very, very, very good cause, especially if you like hearing some of those old chestnuts, those beautiful pieces of music that aren't played on the radio that often unless you're listening to KUSC, 91.5 KUSC, USC's classical music radio station. You will hear them on that station, that's for sure. Thank you so much, Barry Brisk. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's always a pleasure spending the morning with you, Joe.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's always something I look forward to. I look forward to next season very much. This is the last performance of this season, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, The Artists of the Future, sponsored by the Music Teachers Association of California South Bay Branch. We hope to see you there this coming Friday, Marseille Auditorium at El Camino College. Thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you will share this with all your friends and bring your friends. It's free. It's free. This is great, powerful, amazing music right here in Southern California. Actually, right here in Torrance. It's very, very close. Come see. We'll see you there. Bye.